All right, good morning. You're listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. I'm Leah, and I'm here with Jessica.
Good morning.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well, not really. I fucked up my neck somehow, but nobody cares. Yeah, so that was The Jam, Town Called Malice, kicking off our show today about Bodyguard. Mm-hmm. Bodyguard, the notable Bodyguard. For being a show that is 6 hours long and only has one song credit.
Really? And yeah. That was it?
No, that's not it.
Oh, I was gonna say, I don't remember hearing that.
No, I was just trying to get that like disaffected anti-Tory vibe. Yeah. And you know, the jam embodies that for me. So as I mentioned, we're talking about Bodyguard, currently streaming on Netflix. This was a BBC production that smashed all viewing records in Britain. The highest watched event, non-sporting event, in the last like 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It has like millions and millions. It got like, you know, 47% share airing live. People were tuning in live, which is so increasingly rare, I feel, now with people having the ability to just stream things. Mm-hmm. And the most downloads on BBC iPlayer in like history.
Wow. Did people think it was going to be an adaptation of The Bodyguard?
Yes, I think so.
Or a reboot.
Also, the most box sets sold.
What?
Yes. I don't know who the fuck is running out buying a box set, but
I mean,
Bodyguard holds that title.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. I thought it was good also. As I mentioned, it's 6 one-hour episodes. Mm-hmm. Pretty tautly told, like, very tense story.
Yeah, it was very intense, and I can see if you actually started watching it live, like really wanting to catch the next episode, because it was like very cliffhangery.
Yeah, but also I literally fell asleep during every single one of the first 5 episodes.
Really?
I watched them all in basically 30-minute increments. I think I watched the first one the whole way through. And it sort of felt tough for me to get through for some reason. And then after I finished it, I was like, I wonder why. Like, that was interesting. It was very well acted.
Yeah.
It was compelling. It was very tense. There's going to be spoilers in our show today, just because a lot of stuff happens in this show. But yeah.
Apologies to listener Inger, who specifically requested we don't spoil anything. But the real news here, we watched a BBC drama before listener Inger did.
Yeah, that is the real news. That is the election screwed up everything.
I thought she would have watched this in like 2016 or whatever.
Yeah.
Before it was made.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, we scooped her on it. So, yeah. Oh, well, actually, she's the one who initially told me about this show. So,
raced out to finish watching it before she could.
Yeah. But yeah, there are going to be spoilers in our show today, just because it's it packs a lot into 6 episodes, and it's like got these bigger sort of overarching themes that feel very relevant to our world at the moment. It starts very tensely with a terrorist with a suicide vest on a train, and PPO. Pumpkin Spice Latte David Budd. I don't know what
there
he is.
There are a lot of abreams in this show.
Yeah. I do sort of feel, I think you and I had talked about this off air, that I enjoyed while I was watching it, and I also vaguely felt like I didn't understand it. Like, yeah. I was like, do I really understand what's going on here? Like, I'm missing, do you know for sure who he worked for? Was he with MI5 or was he just police?
He was cop.
He was just a cop.
Yeah, so I think one of the divisions was the intelligence unit versus the police unit. And when
it comes to terrorism,
like whose case is it?
Yeah.
Because they're all going to treat it differently. But yeah, I it was hard, a little hard to follow, because a lot of it was like, is this person good or bad?
Yeah,
like, are they corrupt or not? And
yeah,
it kind of goes back and forth on every character.
Yes, there was a lot of sort of like espionage and double dealing and unclear motives. And I appreciate
abbreviations.
But I sort of appreciate that about British programming. We've mentioned this before, that one thing I feel like British shows do is, like, there's not much exposition. They just drop you into stories that are kind of mid pace and trust that you can figure it out.
They're wrong.
With not always 100% success, to be honest, BBC America. But
I need every show to start with that crawl from Star Wars. Yes, that gives you the whole backstory in writing.
Yes, exactly. But David Budd, played by Richard Madden.
Union Jack Ryan.
Who you guys...
I thought of that joke in the first episode. I've been waiting this whole time.
Happy Jessica Benner. Jessica Benner, ladies and gentlemen. We should tweet that. At Richard Madden. Richard Madden, who many of you will know as another spoiler, deceased Robb Stark in Game of Thrones.
I'm going to spoil every show today.
Yeah. Features here as a PPO, which is a primary police officer, a personal protection officer. That's what it is. It's personal protection. It's a personal protection officer, and he is assigned to the Home Secretary, mm-hmm. which is a cabinet position in Parliament in London. Uh-huh. Brexit. What else can I say? but he is assigned to Julia Montagu, the Home Secretary. Mm-hmm. And her bill that is currently causing waves across the country, throughout the country. There's like a whole power grab dynamic between her and the prime minister. She is trying to force a bill through called RIPA 18, mm-hmm. which is actually Ripper. It's very annoying. It's like just like anyway, RIPA 18, which is all about surveillance and counterterrorism and what do you actually need to do to keep people safe and what is an infringement on people's rights. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously very factious. He is he's a vet. Mm-hmm. He served in Iraq, Helmand province.
I think that was Afghanistan.
That's what I meant.
Oh, you got, yeah. Helmand province.
Helmand, right. province. So I should just led with that. And dealing with some pretty severe PTSD, which I thought this show did an interesting job at kind of portraying PTSD in a way that I haven't always seen.
Yeah, it was interesting just to hear them call it out by name.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned in your notes that it was just sort of a fact of being home from the war. And I don't know, I feel like a lot of, like, Jack Ryan alluded to PTSD, mm-hmm. but it really wasn't an issue. They just sort of paid lip service to the fact that he had been in combat and was traumatized by it. But when it came time to, like, go kick ass again, it was just, like, not a thing.
Yeah.
It didn't affect his life at all.
Yeah.
Just when he was laying in bed staring at the ceiling fan.
With a metronome going. Yeah. And I feel like this, he had a pretty serious drinking problem in the beginning, mm-hmm. that was then dropped midway through the show. But, you know, whatever. He got busy with work, so it's understandable. really couldn't do his drinking time. But I did, Richard Madden did this sort of really interesting thing where you saw him just fucking like snap into mm-hmm. a completely different mindset. Like, this is my job. This is what I'm trained for. And like, that's a comfortable thing for him.
Yeah, he became robotic.
Yeah. And one of the things that I did enjoy and that kind of felt earned in this show versus a show like Jack Ryan is they did sort of just have it be like a secondary thing, and it was assumed and everyone knew that he was fucked up, but everyone was still like, well, just, you know, get through this and then we'll take care of you. And I was going back and reading some of the British press about it, and my favorite hot take was that like the show is just an indictment of the NHS and like what you have to go through to get some like occupational health therapy, like some counseling.
Yeah. But that's also what like made it more of an interesting dynamic than Jack Ryan, was that he like they set up his like sympathy, or they set up that he like his old war buddy was the head of this like veterans that were now anti-war activists.
Yeah.
And it went so far as like this guy actually he was sort of like radicalized. Mm-hmm. Like
he
turned into like an anti-government person. Mm-hmm. But it was because like he had seen this war and like killed people and realized that it was all for nothing.
Yeah.
Not for any honorable reason. And so then it's like, oh, so is this guy like, you know, it sets up that tension of mm-hmm. he's actually very against the Home Secretary's policies, but mm-hmm. still protecting her. And like, is he going to use his proximity to her to
take down,
pull a fast one? Yeah.
Yeah. And then first spoiler, they fuck. Second spoiler, she does. What else can we spoil? Third but the show did a good job at sort of keeping playing it very close to the vest. Like, mm-hmm. you were unsure the whole way through. Like, is all of this just maneuvering on both of their sides? Right. Like, it felt like she, too, was, like, playing this sort of expected role. And I wasn't super clear on her character.
Yeah.
I didn't know if she really fell for him. And there's a weird scene at the event where she ends up dying because of a bomb that she's like, I don't think, you know, I think you shouldn't be my protection officer anymore. And then she's like, I just, you know, I want you by my side as, you know, because you want to be there, not right. because you have to or whatever. And that seemed weird to me.
Yeah, I got the sense at first that she was like just, you know, used to getting what she wanted, and what she wanted was that fine piece of ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't sure if we were supposed to take her at her word on that. Because what did she know about him?
Yeah, and it's
a literal robot around her.
Yeah, well, not except for boning. Yeah, except for boning.
But I mean, I don't know. Don't you need a little bit more to like actually be in love with someone?
Sure, but I mean, I think that she's like, let's just, you know, give it a whirl. Like, and and the thing that was amazing to me is there's this power grab. She's trying to be, trying to, like, pull this power maneuver on the prime minister, and it turns out blackmail him with all this compromat that she has.
Oh, right. We heard that word a lot.
Yeah, that she has obtained to try to, like, oust him. And I forget what my point was with that. She's playing this whole thing. Oh, that was my point. Sorry. So I'm like, she's this very cunning, like, savvy politician. And then it didn't seem earnest to me that she genuinely thought that, like, this was going to work. Like,
right.
she's going to move into 10 Downing Street with her former fucking bodyguard.
Right.
The fucking son would have, like, the most amazing headlines ever about right. that. Like, there's no way any of that would it. Yeah, it just, I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Yeah, well, it's a show that kind of does that to your brain. Like, yeah. I don't know what's real and what's not. I don't know.
Okay, well, thanks for coming to our TED Talk, guys. if you, what else did you sort of enjoy, or what did you think it, like, did well? It was definitely very tense. There were a lot of...
Yeah, the pacing was incredible. It was almost, like, unhinged how yeah. much happened like from episode to episode, but they did a good job of like weaving it so that you bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
It helps that like our actual world is turning upside down currently, so yes. when I see something crazy on TV, including scandals that go all the way to the top,
mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more believable these days. But
yeah.
yeah, everyone was just sort of like, when it comes out that like, you know, all these upper level people are totally corrupt
yeah.
and there are all these scandals that go literally up to the prime minister. Everyone who like kind of learned this was a little sanguine about it. Just like, is that like a British thing?
To be expected, yeah. I guess. It's like, well, just better the devil, you know.
Another day in parliament.
Yeah. I don't, that's one thing that's interesting to me. When I had my kid and I was at home, I watched like all of Scandal,
mm-hmm.
and that's the same thing. Like, everything always comes from the top, and it's always amazing to me that there are these like high level dealings and like this crazy, like all these machinations happening that mm-hmm. are just like at the highest level. And these are the people with the power to make it happen. And I'm like, is this why our infrastructure is crumbling? Because they're all busy fucking like trying to just get to the top. Like, that's yeah. basically it, right? Is that a sad indictment on the the world today? Or is it also, I also was like, if there's really this much like high level security stuff going on where people are like breaking into people's apartments right. and doing all this stuff, why the fuck is Donald Trump still alive? Like, can't they make that look like an accident? There's got to be some way that, like...
I think there are a lot of people benefiting from that, like, something of a power vacuum up top where it's, like, you can... If you can get to someone, specifically Donald Trump, and manipulate him, like, that's better than actually being the president.
Sure.
But, yeah, I was also interested in it being sort of an indictment of war.
Yes, you know,
just
definitely.
Being in endless war. And yeah, we were going to talk about Homecoming at some point. Mm-hmm. And part of that show is it's another show that's sort of about the cost of endless war and the human cost mm-hmm. of just sending people over to basically kill people mm-hmm. and become dehumanized themselves.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting facet of this show. And I was wondering, like, is this idea of, like, this sort of homegrown terrorism from people who are become anti-government because of a real reason,
yeah.
which is, like, they've seen the horrors of pointless war.
Yeah.
Is that anything? Because the only white terrorists we know about are, like, people who can't get laid, and mm-hmm. so they mass murder their classmates, and anti-Semites who think that Jews are shape-shifting lizard people from the center of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we do have, like, anti-government, like, veterans who become, like, reclusive gun nuts. But there's always this, like, element of insane conspiracy, you know,
yeah.
by those people who get isolated and become sovereign citizens and think that they're, like, name on their driver's license is their straw man name because it's in all caps or something.
Yeah. Well, that's
they really cloud the point when you, like, add all that into your terrorism.
But that's kind of one of the interesting things that this show does is towards the end it sets David Budd up to be the fall guy for this, like, overarching government plot. And it's like, yeah, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not really out to get you, you know?
Right.
It's like, it does sort of shed that possibility, you know, that, I don't know, I'm not going to get into weird conspiracy theories on the show, should we?
Why not?
What's your favorite conspiracy theory, Jess? God,
there are so many.
Let's talk.
I don't want to get into it because anyone that you joke about, like, if there's any real fans of it, it really is. They all boil down to Jews or lizard people.
Yeah.
So I don't want to joke about it. I don't think Jews are lizard people, just for the record.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. It's.
I read this is
life is a rich tapestry, guys. It
did
is
you read,
wild living in 2018
by John Ronson.
Yes, I did.
So that, like, it was not, there's nothing funny about that book, except John Ronson's a very funny writer. But at the time, I found it more amusing. And now, you know, that we've got a lot more terrorism going on these days, it's less funny. But he interviewed all of these different kinds of extremists, mm-hmm. like, in different countries. And it was weird how, like, that really was, it. They all use kind of different coded language, but then, like, it turns out that they really, their conspiracy theories converge toward this point of the Jews. They all think the Jews run the world secretly from a pine grove in California. And, at the time I read that, I was just like, kind of, it's so funny. They all think Jews are lizard people, but now it's less funny because that's turning into a mainstream belief.
Yeah. And is resulting in actual deaths every day. So,
yeah.
I'm
not sure how we got there.
In that
Happy Veterans Day, you guys.
In that same vein, there's kind of another twist at the end. He sort of slowly unravels this plot and identifies all the, like, big bad kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, the show starts with him negotiating with a terrorist wearing a suicide vest on a train, and she's a woman, and she's captured. He's, like, sort of interviewing her for information about, like, who made these bombs that keep showing up and mm-hmm. things like that. And she doesn't really have any info. And then at the end, it turns out that she's like...
Initially, they kind of presume that she's the victim of her husband.
Of her husband, yeah.
Got her involved in this.
Yeah, and then at the end, it turns out that she's like this mastermind that built the vest. Right. She's a female engineer, as if...
so yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that's unbelievable about this show, but can we talk? Yeah, no, she was a female engineer, and it was about everybody like discounting her because right. she
missing
was a woman
the
and miss yeah like missing the actual possibility. And that also seemed weird to me because literally every one of his superiors was a woman.
Right.
I don't know why it would never occur to him that like she was more than just the victim.
That was a real weak spot for me.
Yeah.
Was that she, not the plot twist, but the fact that it comes out because she just like can't not admit it. She just, it was like a fucking Law and Order where,
yeah.
you know, like someone always confesses. And
yeah.
hers was like, it was a real Scooby-Doo moment, too, where it's like, ah, you never suspected that I was behind all this, and I would have gotten away with it, too. She
yeah,
was
but
like,
I...
So she confessed out of pride, you know, and, like, then confessed a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, do you know how many other terrorists I've groomed while you've had me in prison? And it's like, lady, keep your mouth shut. Where's that lawyer you had a few
yeah,
minutes ago?
Yeah, but that was kind of, I didn't have as much of an issue with that because I do think it's about... Like, for extremists like that, it's about getting the message out and it's about, like,
right.
claiming things and letting it be known. I was kind of weirded out that she was like, I ordered a hit on your kids, like, your kids specifically from prison. I'm like, how do you code that? Like, how do you... They're not listening to jailhouse calls in Britain. Like, they're just like, oh, yeah, she ordered a pizza to this school that, like,
right.
you know, it's just weird. I don't know. But my issue with it is that it spends 5¾ episodes setting up, like, how these big forces for, like, personal gain, like, these big machines are going on around us, and they're not thinking about, like, the impacts on everyday people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, like, some minister ordering another war doesn't impact them at all, like, except from a power grab level. And then you know, they're talking about security and terrorism, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool message that, like, the real threat's from within, you know, uh-huh. the call's coming from inside the house. And then they're like, oh no, like, terrorists no, actually, terrorists are terrorists are really who you should be worried about, guys. It's fine. Like,
also, we're monitoring your internet now.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of a weird message to end on. I was a little bit conflicted
about
that.
Yeah, no one
that.
Got there. I mean, there were a bunch of corrupt people in the government. Mm-hmm. And I guess some of them got their comeuppance. I got kind of confused by that.
They had to resign? Big Tracy. Fucking deal. Like, oh, I have to go back to my muse house in my gated, like, fucking... No. Yeah. Too bad. So sad. The prime minister has to resign. But, like, yeah. Lame.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I thought that was kind of an interesting message that it's like... No, that's really the threat, guys. It's yeah. all coming from, like, extremist, you know, terrorists.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I had a little bit of a problem with that.
How shitty would it be if you were about to carry out a terrorist attack and it was like, this is the moment, I'm martyring myself,
mm-hmm.
it's my big thing,
mm-hmm.
and then the guy who comes to talk you down from it is super hot.
Yeah.
Like, damn it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm
and then when he gets
Tell
you to not
more.
Blow yourself up, you'll hate yourself.
Yeah.
So I know it's because he's real cute.
When he hugs you and you're just like, oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that was essentially what got Julia Montagu killed. Like, girl was doing all these, like, behind the scenes power plays, and then she's like, oh, I really, yeah, I think we should be together and you shouldn't be my, you know, protection
yeah.
officer anymore. And then she's like, just lost focus, just focused on that PPO
mm-hmm.
dick there for a minute and got yourself blown up. That's what it was. It's PPO dick. Yeah, so what else you got
okay.
about the show?
Did you think that when Richard Longcross showed up, which it was a
oh.
real fake name sounding
yeah,
name,
of course.
I seriously thought that they were going to, that it was going to turn into like a Tyler Durden situation.
Oh.
And because then he's describing this guy to the the sketch artist, the composite artist, mm-hmm. and we see the drawing, and they made his face on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, oh shit, he's describing himself. And you know, they set up the PTSD and the drinking problem, and I was mm-hmm. like, maybe he blacks out and then goes and does terrorist shit, and it was him the whole time. And then when he showed the drawing to Nadia,
yeah,
and
yeah.
she looked at it and then looked
oh,
at
oh, they
him,
both had, yeah, they had I a real intense was like, scene. It was a coded
yeah, motherfucker,
message.
It's you. Yeah. That's a drawing of you. And I it must have been an intentional misdirect. I really thought there was going to be some sort of like dual personality
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, there were a lot of intentional misdirects in the show. And there's also an element, it did keep me off guard, which yeah. I always appreciate because I feel like I can generally like see what's coming. And yeah. with this show, I didn't really have
that sense. And
that
was a good one because even though it turns out Richard Longcross was a real separate human being. Like, that's a kind of a cool, I don't know, like metaphor for the, you know, all the double dealing and like his mm-hmm. mixed feelings about protecting a conservative prime minister.
Yeah, and his and actively sort of lying about her. Yeah, his actively lying about events and like knowing the guy who got radicalized who
oh,
tried
right.
to assassinate
that
her.
That was another weak. Maybe their computers are slow in England. But yeah. They had a picture of this guy who mm-hmm. had a very distinctive scar on his face.
Yeah.
It took them four fucking ever to identify him.
Yeah.
And then much longer after that to figure out that they had served in the same unit. And mm-hmm. I think that it would have been like 15 minutes to figure out that information
yeah.
in real life. But like he got away with a lot of shit before they found out that he...
They weren't actually in the same unit. They were in two different units that served together.
Okay.
So sorry, Jess. I'm just blowing up your mind. You're wrong, is what I'm saying. Andy Apstead covered all of his trails, okay? Yeah, no, I mean, of course, that's just in service of the plot. But yeah. It was designed to kind of keep you off guard. You're like, well, why is he lying about this? And getting back to the Jack Ryan thing for a minute, the mm-hmm. thing I genuinely appreciated about this show, though, is that they legit set him up as being really fucking good at his job. Like, so it's right. not as much of a stretch for him to make these, like, leaps almost of intuition. Like, you know, Jack Ryan would, like, lick his finger and stick it in the yeah. wind and be like, that guy went that
he
way.
He would shuffle papers around yeah. and then I'll pick one up.
Yeah, he would look at a post-it and say, yeah. like, 7-5. That was, yeah.
yeah.
And this, it was more kind of like plotting. Like, he's just trying to, like, there's a scene where he's really trying to, like, figure out what the fuck is happening. And he's just, like, you see him thinking it through. And I was like, it seems logical to me that this guy would be able to piece right. this together. It seemed earned. It didn't seem, I mean, there was definitely a lot of the same, like, why are you inserting yourself here? Like, why? And,
yeah.
And there was a lot of weird back and forth. Why is he on this case now? Like, wasn't he just at the hospital and now he's like in the
yeah,
the
they
room?
Did that
like,
thing
how did
where
he insinuate himself into like actively like a different
so
department?
So many
where
cop shows, and I don't know anything about police work, but so many of them have our main character who needs to go home and get
yeah,
some
yeah.
rest, or like literally doesn't work here anymore,
yeah.
or does not. This is
yeah.
not covered in your job description, but they're still like just in the office
just
using the computer,
showing up
in cases that they have nothing to fucking do with.
Talking to people.
Yeah, that's yeah. like a important part of cop shows is like, you retired 6 years ago.
Just stay home. Yeah. Your badge doesn't work here.
You yeah. need a visitor pass.
Yeah. I mean, check in at the front.
Yeah.
That was kind of my thing is like, you're the main PPO. Can I say PPO 10 more times before the show is over? You're the main PPO who get you like you got your target blown up. So you're not really batting a
you
thousand
be at least
here.
Unpaid leave.
Yeah, you're not really batting a thousand. So like, I don't know that you're just swanning in and saying, let's go in this direction. Don't look at this guy. Look
right.
at this guy. So yeah, I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, I just thought of another problem I had.
Yes.
Can I? Since
yeah, yeah. please.
So there's this complicated thing where he has a gun hidden in his house.
Mm-hmm.
Gets toyed with. I don't know. Forget it. He tries to kill himself.
Yes.
It ends up that his gun was loaded with blanks.
Yes.
So he has this head wound.
Yes.
But is fine, essentially. And like people notice it. And someone makes the leap that like he tried to shoot himself. And it's like, how would you ever make that leap? That someone has a head wound and
it's
they're not dead.
Bullet shaped. scar in the side of your head.
How would you ever assume that someone tried to shoot themselves in the head and it didn't work that well?
Oh, because like it misfired or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, that was all.
Did his colleague not have eyebrows? Remember that?
Yes, that guy was weird. Maybe he lost him in the fire from the bomb.
I mentioned it to my husband, and he was like, well, he got blown up. And it's like, but the rest of him looks fine. You don't just lose your eyebrows.
And eyelashes.
He was just that close enough that, like, skin, fine, pristine, hair is great, eyebrows gone. If he had been any closer, it would have been real bad.
Yeah. There was also a lot of, like, the bombing incident was kind of weird because they did lose one of their officers. And mm-hmm. so this guy is like, what the fuck is your deal? Like, we lost Jess or whatever, yeah. and you haven't said a word. And he's like, you're right.
Yeah.
And then still doesn't say a word. Like, as the commanding officer, maybe say, like, there's a card going around. Right. Like, I don't know. Take up a collection for some flowers. Do fucking something. Instead, he just says, you're right. Let's go for a pint. Yeah. Like, that's just very British.
Yeah.
Never speak of this again. Anyway, speaking of conspiracy theories, let's go to a song. And then when we come back, we'll talk some more about The Bodyguard.
A-plus segue.
Yeah. Sorry, just talk amongst yourselves. There's nothing to see here. There's no reason that I haven't played the song yet. No conspiracy theory. Forces of government aren't conspiring to keep this MIA song off the air. So we'll be back. Stay tuned to BFF.FM. So I guess there wasn't much of a conspiracy theory about that, but that was the message by MIA.
Has your computer been infiltrated?
Perhaps. And when she released that song, everyone was like, the Google's not connected to the government, dude. And then it turned out she was right. It's all connected. It's all listening all the time.
Should have listened to MIA.
How do you feel about government monitoring all your devices?
Oh, great. I like take that opportunity to say hi to my favorite government official.
Same, same. I'm like, I'm real sorry about all the rock content. Enjoy.
Yeah, I don't commit anything to text that could incriminate me. I just say it here on the radio. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there's going to be a splice of your little talk about what people believe. I know. Jessica Benner outed.
It's funny because it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what else do we have about The Bodyguard? As I said, it took me a surprisingly long time to get through all six episodes. I certainly don't think I would have been one of those, like,
yeah, that surprises me. I wonder if there was some extremely successful marketing campaign.
I don't think
who watches television.
I think that there's a lot, you know, Brexit and everything's going on. I don't know. I think the the world is rife for like shit like this that's taught and like tense and.
But like you had trouble getting through it, and I have I have trouble watching anything right now for some reason. This has been like the lead up. The last several years, but particularly the last couple weeks, have been emotionally draining as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to admit it. I've watched a couple episodes of Beverly Hills 90210, and I've stood in the middle of my living room and declared self-care.
Yeah.
Sat down on the couch drank wine while watching 90210. And there's, we talk about this all the time, there's so much fucking TV to watch. There is anything so much content new, out like, there. Oh, I just don't have the bandwidth.
Yeah, it seems daunting to sort of start something new. I haven't even really had that. I haven't. No, I mean, I feel the same way. I feel like it's been hard. I haven't had anything like riveting in a while. I think I'm going to try Chaos. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina next. I could use some some teen witchery in these troubled times. Maybe a teen witch will save us all.
Yeah, I could get into that.
Yeah. Yeah, so as I said, this show was very, very tense. The last episode finds him strapped into a suicide bomb vest and wandering the streets of London. I have a question for you.
Sure.
There's a scene where everybody is standing around. They're like, we're just going to shoot him. Like, let's just shoot him, guys. He looks like a terrorist. He's like, you know, if it quacks like a terrorist, it's a terrorist. Let's just shoot him. And there are sort of these like deus ex machina moments that prevent him from getting shot. And then they just let him fucking walk through London. The entire reason being because his ex-wife, played by Ada Shelby.
I had to look. I didn't recognize her at all.
I knew her face, and it's funny, like, how do I know her? I
recognized
her voice. Oh. Like,
then it was obvious. She doesn't look particularly different, but just if I know you from one era and then you show up in a different period garb, you are a mystery to me.
Yeah, I have to say that seeing her in contemporary makeup looked weird.
Yeah.
Did not look right to me. No. But and also she didn't get to do very much. But she did have her big moment where she raced towards him to prevent them from killing him. Basically, because she was standing there and would be blown up, too. And I was like, well, that's a real difference between the British police and, like, American police. I have zero fucking doubt that they would take out whoever the fuck they needed to take out. The moment somebody appears on the street wearing a suicide vest, it's just straight up fucking headshot and that's it.
Like, I don't know. Handsome white man like that?
Yeah, that's a point in his favor for sure.
To hear as Miranda writes afterwards.
Yeah, it's a point in his favor for sure. But I was like, really? And then they just like escort them through. But I will say it was very well done, him trying to defuse the bomb vest himself. It was very tense, and
there was a robot.
There was a cute robot. Yeah. I was like, don't blow up the robot, guys. There was a little robot, and
sorry, I didn't know that you like had an emotional connection to the robot. I didn't mean to bring up this stuff.
Jess, did you see the Emmy campaign for the robot?
Greatest actor of our generation.
Yeah, he was amazing.
It was really sad when he turned out to be super fucking corrupt.
Yeah, exactly. He just trundled right up. And then, yeah, when he tried to push him, when he was trying to cut the wire, it was really something. No, but it was very tense. And I will give credit to the show because it seemed entirely plausible to me that they would end the show by him blowing himself up.
Yeah.
Like, that seemed, I was like, it's just going to fade to black and that'll be fucking great. It's
British TV. Yeah. There's no second season coming.
Yeah, no, and that was the thing. Like, Julia Montague. I was sort of surprised when she died in episode 3 or 4.
I seriously thought, I mean, because it defied television convention to kill one of the main characters halfway through the season, but you know, she was in the hospital and wasn't dead immediately. I was like, oh, well, that's code for she's coming back, but then she died. And then Stephen thought that, like, it was going to be some sort of conspiracy. She faked her own death.
That's what, at the end, when he was talking to that the head of the police, who was also corrupt as fuck, but you know, whatever. Was she though? I don't know. I couldn't really tell.
Two of the police officials went back and forth. Like, one of them was definitely corrupt.
Yes.
The one with the eyebrow, Anne Sampson, who acted entirely with a single eyebrow, I think was not corrupt.
Yeah.
But maybe hated the intelligence. But
like, and also vaguely, like, again, with the like power grab, like, she was satisfied. She leaked all the information about the prime minister.
Oh.
And there was a point where she was like, oh, you know, the jury's out on you. Some people think you deserve a medal for what you did, and some people think you deserve to be kicked off the force. And then she's like, but what you need first. And I was like, Julia Montague's gonna like pop out of a cupboard like to get laid. Like, I thought it was just gonna be like,
that would have been a real different show.
So I was I mean, I guess it did save him having to break up with Julia Montague because, you know, he was clearly still in love with his ex-wife. And that was another, that was one of the weak points for me is like throughout she's just like, yeah, I have a new boyfriend now. Right. And I tried to fucking get you to get help and like, you're done. Like, I got the sense she was completely emotionally done with that fucking relationship. And then like, at the end, he's like, yeah, there's room for one more. And she's like, your hair is pushed back off your head again. Okay. You went to one occupational therapy meeting. Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah, that was weird. Especially since they, I don't know. You got to get better for yourself, you know? Not for someone else.
Yeah, totally. And also, same applies to her. Like, don't hitch your wagon to that star again. Yeah. Like, this guy's not, I was kind of surprised too. So they did end it with him going to what he turned out what he needed was not Julia Montague jumping out of a cupboard. It was occupational health services. And so you see him walk in and sit down with a very stone-faced counselor. And he says, you know, I'm whatever his name is, and I need some help. And then he bursts into tears and the camera pulls back and she just sits there fucking stone faced the whole time. I'm like, maybe shop around a little, like maybe I don't know, maybe
she's not
see
a member
if,
of SAG or whatever the
see
British
if the
equivalent
Secret
is.
Service will pay for you to go private with some counseling instead of like having to sit there with this lady who seemed incapable of consoling him when he like broke down in tears in her office.
Yeah, she can't step on a scene.
I don't know, maybe,
or she was hired to play background and could not say any lines.
Yeah, well, I mean, she could have changed her face or
touched
like
his hand,
handed a box of tissues, like something. Just but anyway, he took the first step, so good for him.
Great job.
Yeah, great job. I was getting a little conspiracy theorist myself towards the end, and as he drove away in his tiny little British car, because all people in Britain drive really small cars, the license plate, like the reg, was like snow, like BAI or like boy or something, I think. Don't quote me on this. And then I was like, oh shit, is that like a, you know, a dig at Jon Snow, like, or like what? You know, from Game of Thrones, I don't, because they're half brothers or whatever. So I was just like, oh, is that an Easter egg for like Game of Thrones fans? But probably not. So and I don't even know for sure that that's what it said. I think it said snow.
You should definitely,
maybe I hallucinated,
just
that.
Start this rumor on the internet.
Yeah.
See where it goes.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll take on a life of its own.
Season 2 is going to have dragons, is what I'm saying, guys. Jon Snow is arriving in season 2. He and David Budd are going to team up.
Well, these two shows do share the same universe, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, this is the side of Westeros we haven't seen yet. I will say the one thing, too, is that it's always extremely, like, it just provokes so much envy anytime I see London on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always like, oh, I'd love to be there for a terrorist threat. That'd be great. Like, look at all those people just going about their lives. Yeah, yeah, you know. And I will say one thing this show had a real lack of is actual British pubs.
Yeah.
They were all in like fucking Weatherstones, which is basically the Chipotle of like pubs. And there are a lot of really amazing, like awesome ancient pubs in London. And I feel like they should have made better use
of
that.
I feel like any show now that's BBC co-produced by Netflix, that Netflix should be like, no, Americans want to see like cozy pubs. Put some of those in there.
Not a Weatherspoons or like any of your fucking generic like
Put
John Taffer type bullshit. I don't want any of that. I want the legit stuff. What else was in my notes?
Did you have a code name that you wanted to announce on the air?
I was wondering, can you pick your own code name?
I don't know.
She was called Lavender.
Yeah, that's
which I like.
Cool.
It's good. Yeah.
It's like a soft, nice, feminine name for someone who's like been responsible for millions of deaths.
Yeah, and she also, that Keely Hawes, I believe, is the actress, and she did a really great job at being like a fucking uptight Tory bitch.
Yeah.
Like, she had that real clipped like delivery and not caring at all about like, just a power hungry, power hungry lady, which I'm all for in 2018. Go get it, girl. But then don't let yourself get distracted by that PPO dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems sort of out of, I don't know if that's out of character. I thought it was like a power play at first, and then I was like, that's fine, you know, she's just using them. And then I was like, yeah, don't catch feelings, as the kids say. But yeah, I was interested in whether or not you can pick your own code name. What would your code name be, Jess?
Colonel Mustard. No, I don't know. Colonel, I'm really Mustard bad. Anytime I'm tasked with like coming up with a name, I go straight for things that are so uncool, like
Colonel Mustard's awesome.
Agent Metallica or something. Agent Fonzie.
AC/DC is on the move. No, I was thinking, like, I would like mine to be something that, like, fucks with them. Like, it'd be like, is on the move, over. Or, like, or over, is on the move, or whatever.
Beer's on
something
me.
Something that they'd be like, what? Yeah, so I think, you know, you gotta have a little fun with it if you gotta have a code name.
Sure, yeah, you sound like you'd be a barrel of laughs to protect.
I would be. I'd be like, no, it's fine. I'm fine. I got this. You guys knock off for the night. Totally get myself killed day one. Do you think in general, is it a good idea to sleep with your bodyguard? That seems to be a thing, is all I'm saying. Like,
oh, yeah.
That Whitney Houston movie, she slept with Kevin Costner. And then this, and Princess Diana slept with her bodyguard.
Really?
Probably, right?
Yeah, no,
I think so.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that it's probably a good idea for your bodyguard to have a vested interest in protecting your body.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the drama would have you believe that there are consequences and it's a bad idea. But I think the majority of us who need a bodyguard is for like when we're actually in public.
You know?
Most of us don't have home invaders trying to come kill us. So, like, yeah, use that time as you see wish.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, like, so if you're sleeping with someone who's on the clock, does that start to feel like
is it overtime?
Prostitution situation? Like, do you feel dirty about it or just, you know, are you cool with it?
I think you're cool with it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I say go for it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and it was interesting because they did find out that he had this relationship with her, and they were like, oh, is it true? Like, that's so unprofessional. That's gonna get you nothing, no consequence whatsoever. He still got to investigate everything. He still got, like, I guess it helped that she was dead now, you know, that cleaned up a lot of the like fallout from that. But
yeah.
I mean, I don't know, you know what they say, Jess, you know, today's news is tomorrow's trash or fish wrapping or whatever.
I mean, we're definitely learning that now, like, so much stuff, it's just like, oh, I'm so mad at what.
I have no idea what happened a week ago. God, yeah, the election was like less than a week ago. I do love too that they had a lot of those like members of cabinet have that like real worried British head, like that guy Rob just had like that perpetually like cowed, scared head, which is very British. I'm into it. Where are you gonna hide your compromat if you get some you know,
compromat?
Yeah, compromat.
I'm just gonna dress it up in period garb and then no one would ever recognize it.
Yeah, totally. That's great.
No, I would put it like right on my forehead because according to the people who walk five abreast on the sidewalk, I'm invisible. So
yeah, same. I would just have it printed on a t-shirt because nobody's looking at anything to do with me. So like I would just walk around with it right there, you know, just it's always the last place you look. At the woman over 40. Yeah, that's the best way to just tattoo it on my body. Yeah. Nobody would see it there except for my bodyguard, but he'd know about it at that stage. But it was kind of cool to see his various hiding places around his shabby flat. And then I was kind of weirded out when he did actually like dig it. He dug a hole for it.
Yeah, I was confused about which was the real compromat, which was the dummy compromat, but
I don't think there was a dummy compromat.
Oh, I thought he like had one hiding in a place that he knew they would look and then one buried in the backyard or something. I don't know. There's a lot of
He did some misdirection to out the Secret Service or the whatever they're called there. The like security forces to out them that they were, you know.
That's right.
That they were scamming him or following him or whatever. It seemed a little, I don't know if this is the way real investigations work. Like, you are probably going down one path and then you do get things opened up to other possibilities. But, like, we're focused on this, like, counterterrorism stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, organized crime too, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what? Why is Chanel back in the picture? Like, what's her beef?
Fucking Chanel.
Yeah, it's always bitches named Chanel. Always.
Yeah, I would never trust someone named Chanel. That sparkly blazer she was wearing at the club, though, was
it was fierce. Pretty amazing. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And her club was really nice.
Yeah, what was it? She owned that place I or guess. Something? Why yeah, was she someone's know, personal her, assistant?
All her dirty money. I mean, you know, it's all for prestige. It's to say you work wherever.
For the government.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Would you, if some guy, like, with very copious amounts of blood all over his head and like a weird wax tarp around his body asked, told you that he was a police officer and needed to use your phone, would you let him do it?
Probably
because the patriarchy, Jess. Yeah, we're all
like, I don't know. I walk around with sunglasses and headphones and resting bitch face on because 99% of interactions with strangers end in sexual harassment. So I'd probably just like walk past him and pretend I didn't hear. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. If a guy's covered in blood and wants to borrow my phone, I guess the worst that could happen is I lose my phone, which is cloud is way over.
Yeah.
I get but notifications every day that my phone storage is full. So have at it, dude. I don't know how to clean this out. Yeah.
Knock yourself out. Go for it. Yeah.
I already told you I don't like reveal anything over text or email. So donuts.
Yes.
I don't know. Would you?
Yeah, probably. I'd be like, yes, sir. Sorry. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry you lost your phone. Here, say, take mine. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? He's like, I'm strapped to a suicide vest, lady. Just, yeah. But I was thinking about that poor lady. Like, she did let him use her phone and he was on speaker and he was like, here's the deal. Like, this is my situation. And then all the police swarm in and she's like, what's happening? Like, I'm late for my appointment now. Yeah, I'm just trying to,
you know. That's classic. You try to do something nice and you get punished for it.
Yep. Just the same, like, all those poor people on the train being derailed in, like, the middle of the British countryside and held up for hours just because, you know, he had to try to stop the suicide bomber, you know. Whatever. I guess that was good. Fine. Fine. He gets a pass with that. Yeah. It was interesting to see him speak with a Scottish accent. I did not know that Richard Madden was originally Scottish. Originally and still, originally. I guess.
Yeah, I was weirded out by, they say ma'am so much. Oh. Everyone addresses, everyone is ma'am, and it sounds like mom in his accent.
I cannot believe we haven't addressed that. Yes, he went through that entire show saying, very good, mom.
Yeah.
Mom. And in like a weird, stilted,
Yeah, it was interesting.
Very British. Yeah, very good, mom.
Yeah.
So being that it has now aired on Netflix, what do you think are the chances there will be a season two?
Given what you said about its popularity in Britain, I know that they are capable of, you know, cutting their losses and not making every show 75 seasons on BBC, but I bet they're not going to leave that money on the table. I feel like it could easily have another plot, another government conspiracy, another, you know, I think.
Or just him protecting someone else. I mean, endless, like, variants on that. I'd like to see him protect someone and not sleep with them. That'd be different. Let's try that in season two. Yeah.
Or he protects a man and does sleep with him.
That'd be great, too. I'd be into it.
Yeah.
But that.
Or dragons.
Dragons are coming, guys. I guess you could do a spinoff. I'd like to see that guy growing back his eyebrows. That'd be good. Just about his quest to grow back his eyebrows in season two.
We have the best ideas for season
two. Get at us, Netflix. Well, I was thinking, too, because I do feel like they didn't use Ada Shelby well enough. So, like, if he died, I would like to see her start a gang and then do, like, a Peaky Blinders crossover. Like, you know, smash some timelines. I don't know.
Yeah.
She'd ride in on a dragon with the Peaky fucking Blinders behind her. She finds out
she's the granddaughter of Ada Shelby.
Yeah, right? That could happen. Yeah, she, like, seeks vengeance on his death at the hand of big government.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm into it.
Okay. All right. We'll continue workshopping that and let you guys know what we come up with.
We'll present our treatment to
if we're not back next week, it's because we're taking a meeting.
We're at a writer's retreat.
Yeah. I'm just going straight to taking some meetings. Okay. That's how that works, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Send Netflix a...
Netflix.
At them and then just say... We'll be in town Wednesday for a meeting. Yeah, exactly. I think that's how that works. All right. Well, thanks for listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. Keep it here. There is more awesome music coming your way. We are going to end with... Oh, I don't have a song queued up. So what do you want to hear, Jess?
Oh, I don't know. Something that's on that list of yours.
Okay.
Something British.
There's... nothing really on the list, but we are going to end with a song that will forever and always remind me of The Bodyguard, not Bodyguard.
Oh, God.
This is a cover by somebody called Josh Weathers of I Will Always Love You. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more TV on the Radio. Keep it here on BFF.fm. Oh.
Push the button.
All right.